In the beginning, there was the creation of a small plastic case. In this case, there was an item called a DVD. When the DVD was placed inside the machine, the first movie was being watched. This allowed the Extra Features podcast to begin.
Okay, welcome to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast, episode 258.
Yeah.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Jim Morris, the son of a career Navy man.
Oh, going to the rookie. I'm Daniel. I wasn't in the rookie.
I'm Doug, and I'm too old to be a rookie.
I'm the only one of rookie age, I think.
Yeah, you probably are. Mm. So what's been happening, guys? Like, we watched anything? We're getting in the Christmas spirit. What's going on? Wow, dead silence.
It's too early for Christmas.
What's going on?
I got an advent calendar, and it's November 21st, and I've already eaten all of it.
I was about to ask that. Had you eaten all the chocolate? Now, Daniel, what kind of person does, like, massacres an advent calendar like that?
I mean, my mom went away for the week, and I wanted snacks, and I was like, you know what? It's later. I don't have patience. I'm just going to go into it.
Is your childhood over then, Daniel, or did you do this as a child?
See, I don't even know if I ever. I'm sure I had an advent calendar when I was a kid, but I can't remember any.
Well, let me help you. If I send Doug an advent calendar and he eats all the chocolates, I'm never sending him another one.
Fair.
But how would you know?
I think Doug's got a trustworthy face.
Oh, really? Well, damn. Okay.
And Kevin, you wouldn't tell me you ate all the chocolates.
Maybe. If I didn't want to hurt your feelings, maybe I wouldn't.
I mean, it's a Kinder advent calendar I got for like $13 from the grocery store.
You got little toys to play with too?
Were you surprised?
I don't check the toys anymore in the Kinder Surprise.
Well, there are no toys?
No, there is, but they're not good anymore and I don't care to play with them.
Well, my wife ordered a wine advent calendar, so that shipped out. It should be coming next week.
Does she know?
Oh, yeah, she knows. She ordered it for herself.
I like your wife more and more.
Now, are those like little shots of wine, or how does that work?
I think they said it's 6 half bottles, so.
Okay.
Just do with as you please.
Okay. I was picturing like 24 bottles of wine.
I was picturing like those little mini bar, like tequilas or vodkas.
Yeah. But, okay.
But apparently that's not it.
You sure we don't have one of those, Kevin? I'm sure me and Kevin could put a package together for you, Doug, and just put extra features on the front, and you can have an extra features one. I'm sure we can make you one up for – no, we got a couple weeks. We probably could have it done.
Well, we could just send you a bottle, and you could have a shot a day.
That works, too.
Keep the Christmas away.
I mean, does it have to be a certain kind of scotch, or does any scotch work for you?
I drink whiskey and I drink vodka, so either of those works for me.
Perfect. So we're good to go. Kevin, let's get on that.
Oh, okay. I'll get right on that.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. Anybody have any questions before we start?
Yeah, but actually, yeah, extra features advent calendar is coming soon. That's actually a good idea.
I'll get to work on it. I can put a movie in there. I can just ship you a movie every day for 25 days.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I had a question for everybody. Have you ever walked out of a film at a movie theater? And if you haven't, have you ever thought of walking out of a film at a movie theater?
Kevin?
Never walked out. Never considered walking out.
Wow. Really?
Dedication. Yep.
If I paid and I'm there, I'm sitting through the end. I watch good and bad movies, so.
What about fine ones?
Oh, it's fine. Yeah, it's definitely sticking through for it's fine movies.
Okay. Do you want me to go?
I was very, very close to walking out of Dragonheart.
Oh, I could see why.
I didn't do it only because I had paid for it, and it was a very early date with me and my wife. But we were both sitting there going, this movie sucks. We should leave. I was taken out of Gremlins when I was a little kid because it scared the crap out of me and I was screaming.
Okay. That's fair.
Okay. You know when you go with a group of people and one person's going to buy the tickets? Well, I can't remember what movie we were supposed to see, but I ended up at War of the Roses. Okay. With Michael Douglas, and I can't remember, and Roseanne Barr and Meryl Streep. Was that it? And there's somebody else. It doesn't matter. I almost killed the person who bought the tickets. I'm like, what? You bought me tickets to what? What? I don't want to see that piece of crap. So, of course, we get there. We sit right in the middle. 10 minutes in, I'm like, I'm ready to go. Roseanne Barr trying to get into a dress. I'm like, I'm out. I'm done. That was it. 10 minutes in the movie. If I was on the corner seat, I would have walked out.
Okay.
But because I was stuck in the middle and there were too many people, the theater was packed, I didn't leave. I would have been gone. That's how much interest I had in that film.
Okay. So you mentally checked out.
I mentally checked out, yes. Well, that will be that'll be the first of many movies I mentally checked out that I can remember.
Okay.
Daniel?
For me, okay, so I have a couple, because one is anxiety and stomach related. When I went to see Night Moves back in the first time I went to TIFF in 2013.
Is that the Michael Douglas? Michael?
No, it's the Jesse Eisenberg one from 2013 with Dakota Fanning and Peter Sarsgaard. When they try to blow up Dam. Spoiler, I guess.
I don't think I saw that.
It's the Kelly Reinhart one. But yeah, I left with...
Oh, no, like, I definitely haven't seen it.
I left with like 15 minutes left in the movie, and I didn't watch it again until like 5 years, finished it until like 5 years later. So Kelly Reinhart, if you ever listen to this, I was the one who left. And then The Gunman. I went to see that one day after school. I lasted 10 minutes, and I was like, you know what? I don't want to do it. The one with Sean Penn. Okay. And then Grown Ups 2. I didn't walk out of Grown Ups 2, but I thought about it.
Oh, she should have just laughed. That's a piece of crap.
Yeah, I know. I've paid for a lot of junk in my life, though. Movie-wise. Yeah. And food-wise, too, I guess.
Okay, fair enough. So... Are we moving into our first feature of the week?
Yeah. Do you want to get into some Love and Monsters?
Sure.
Don't know if you had a better transition there.
But... No, I didn't, so I just sort of dropped it.
Okay. Directed by Michael Matthews, starring Dylan O'Brien, Jessica Henwick, Michael Rooker, Dan Ewing, Ariana Greenblatt, and Ellen Hallman.
So I can start it off. This is the kind of film I should like. Basic, little romantic thing, little this. I like the beginning because I'm a really big fan of that. Oh, my God, that stupid movie with zombies I like.
Zombieland?
That's it. That's reminded me a lot of Zombieland. So I'm like, all right, I'm looking forward to this. I'm going to like this. CGI looked nice as we start off. I like the monster idea. And I'm like, this is just Zombieland done really badly. I never found it interesting. I found the lead character was okay. That girl he had to meet drove me nuts. I thought the monsters, he didn't really do anything. I thought he might fight some monsters occasionally. No, he pretty much runs away and rides down on them. So I'm like, really, this is just Zombieland all over again. Just a poor man's Zombieland that really has no characters are interesting. No real bonding of anybody. I mean, that Michael Rooker attempted bonding on the hill. That put me right to sleep. I mean, he sure brought some guys with him, maybe some excitement. I mean, I didn't feel at any time the lead character was going to have any issues getting to where he needed to go. I really felt this whole world was kind of dull for what I expected. It had beautiful CGI, but other than that, didn't do anything for me.
Fair. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like Ned's declassified survival guide for monsters. Yeah, he's just making a whole booklet about it. But it definitely tries to do Zombieland, but it's kind of closer to Warm Bodies, almost, just with that tongue-in-cheek kind of thing. That I got that vibe a lot. Like, I didn't hate it, but I didn't, it was disappointing. In the way that it was just kind of mediocre. I mean, it's fine adventure. I like Mikkel Rooker. I like the kid, with them. And that attempt at bonding was fine. But you know, when they shove a dog in there, that it might be a little bit of an issue that we have to try to relate to the character because he has a dog. And then it kind of, yeah, the CG guy is fine. And then it just kind of takes a really different turn with the third act with the yacht guys and being like, oh yeah, like with him trying to get to her and then them trying to take them away or whatever the heck that what had happened was. It just very different tonally, and it was just kind of out of left field, I guess. But the big giant crab was kind of interesting.
Okay, back to the big giant crab.
Sure.
It's like we got to the end of the film, and there hasn't been any real conflict other than him wandering around aimlessly with his dog.
And the grenade and with the shark fin monster that we don't see, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And the giant millipede.
We're going to introduce the big bad at the end of this film. And it's this crab. And then suddenly he goes, oh, wait, look into his eyes. I'm like, oh, God, I'm done. That was it. That was the last point of call for me to even try to like this film. Pretty much it was a decline halfway through. And this was heading to the end. Ooh, look into his eyes. I'm like, I'm done. You know, we all knew Helmsworth was a bad guy from the beginning. I think it was pretty evident he was a bad guy. Just the whole way he was setting everything up. But I had the wrong guy.
Wasn't yeah, not he- not Hemsworth, the Australian guy, though. Like Danny Wing, I think is that actor his name is. Mm-hmm. Captain, right?
Yeah, the captain guy. But, I mean, this was predictable.
Yeah.
Did it take a chance at any time, Kevin, in this film? Did one chance this film took? Tell me what it is.
I had a great trailer. That's all I saw. I didn't see the movie, so.
Okay.
Oh.
Yep. It's on Hulu. I don't have Hulu, so sorry.
It was aggressively average.
Yeah.
There was nothing exceptional about this film.
Yeah, I can agree.
Hold on a second. I'm not letting Doug get away with saying just average. Can you give me some more than just average?
Why? The movie didn't give us any more.
So true.
That's a fair point.
The opening was okay when they were aping Alien and they were watching the screen and the people were hunting the bug that got in. But immediately after that, it just went downhill. I did not really care for it. It was cute at times, but that's about it.
Yeah, with like the robot and stuff, like the robot helper that he finds, that was
the Mavis.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, yeah.
But you would spell it with a one, not
yeah,
with
a one. Yeah, exactly.
I got a quick question. You know that his girlfriend's gonna be in the Matrix? I think that's the one that's in the Matrix.
No, it's the enemy at the end on the yacht.
Oh, it's her in the Matrix?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm good. She didn't do anything either, so we're good.
Her name is Ellen Holman.
Yes. Okay, whatever. I just wanted to know who's going to be in the Matrix. Wrong one. Yeah, people, just skip this piece of junk. There's better films. Go watch Zombieland 1. Do not watch Zombieland 2 and stop there, and you'll be happy.
And Warm Bodies is even packs a big better punch than this one anyway.
Sounds like this movie is on the rocks from the beginning for everyone.
Directed by Sofia Coppola, starring
Coppola.
Either or. Directed by Sofia Coppola. I don't care.
She's the daughter of Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah, I looked it up. I thought it was pronounced Coppola. My bad. Okay. Starring Bill Murray, Rashida Jones, Marlon Wayans, Jessica Henwick, who was also in Love and Monsters, the girlfriend, and then Jenny Slate, just to complain about her life for a couple scenes.
Who's going? Let's go.
I'll go if you want me to. I've never liked characters more, but disliked a movie more. I liked the characters. I liked Bill Murray. I thought he was absolutely charming. I liked Rashida Jones. following along with Bill Murray, going along with his schemes and plans. But the movie just felt kind of dull to me. I liked the characters, but not the movie that they were in. I don't know how else to explain it. I thought Bill Murray was a lot of fun. I liked his whole scene with the cop when they got pulled over, how he got out of it by knowing the cop's father, his grandfather. That was wonderful. I loved that. I loved Bill Murray singing when they got on the beach. Everything else about the movie, though, aside from the characters, the actual story of the movie just felt very rote. There was no twists. There was no surprises. I like the characters more than the movie is what I'm saying. I don't know how else to say it.
I have to back you up 100%, Doug. I agree with everything you said. I find this is the normal Sofia Coppola films, though. They don't go anywhere. I mean, I'm one of the few people I know that hate that one everybody loves. Lost in Translation, I do not like. I've not liked Marie Antoinette. I can't remember what came after that. I didn't like either.
Ring Ring?
Oh, that one I did like.
Okay,
there's one I did like. I agree with you. I love the characters in this film. I thought they all had something to do, but it wasn't interesting to me. The plot was so dumb. I'm like, this is pathetic plot. So throw that out the window, whatever they introduced me at the beginning. Excuse me. And then we got to go down this road, and really, it doesn't pay off at the end. That's what I was pissed off about. I'm like, okay, give me something at the end, but no. The thing they gave us at the end, we already knew halfway through that Bill Murray's a jerk. Like, what was this movie trying to teach me? That I'm bored, can get bored out of my skull watching Sofia Coppola films? I know that already. Like, I do not like her directing. I do not find her interesting. I find she just has almost stagnant shots constantly, that same shot. When they're having dinner, same shot. In the apartment, same shot. Even when Bill Murray's talking to the cop, it's just a variation of that same shot. She doesn't impress me with anything. Her pacing is terrible. It's just constantly boring films. I don't know why she doesn't do anything other than Bling Ring and Virgin Suicides I both like.
Okay. I found this. It's Sofia Coppola's Three's Company plot. You know, mistaken situation, misreading people, goofy things happening, but it's not a comedy and it's not particularly interesting. I mean, I liked Rashida Jones. I even liked Marlon Wayans. I thought he was okay.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, misreading signals, doubt, fear, you know, a semi-comedic situation with Bill Murray. Who was great. I like Bill Murray in this movie. And I like the relationship he had with his granddaughters. The scenes there, that was fun. You know, we're watching Breaking Bad. That's not a show you watch. Because we didn't see anything bad. It's all right. Anyway, just, you know, here's your poker face. You know, little things like that. They were nice touches, but ultimately boring. A dull film. A time waster.
Wasn't it even a time waster? Don't you feel like you're like, I could be doing something else besides watching this?
I don't feel like I wasted my time. I felt like I watched something. I just didn't really, there was no point to it. It was just like watching people for 2 hours deal with their own doubts and insecurities.
Well, after watching Love and Monsters and Love and the Rocks pretty much back to back, I was like, oh God, I really got to find something else to do besides movie reviews.
Mm. It's only called On the Rocks.
It's called Crap, is what it should have been called.
Sure. Okay. Honestly, I'm on the other side. I enjoyed it. I thought it was charming. I liked the cast. God damn it. Marlon Wayans is good for what he's asked to do. Rashida Jones is good. I love Bill Murray. I like the characters. I know you only like the characters and didn't like the story, but I don't know. I thought it was a passable story about father and daughter, like bonding, but it's just a weird way to want to bond by doing a little detective work, trying to catch Marlon Wayans cheating. I don't know. I thought the pacing was fine. I don't completely love it, but I think it's a good movie. I don't think it was a waste of time.
Okay. The detective work. Was that the plot that I missed? Was that supposed to be? I thought that was just bonding time.
I think the plot was trying to catch him cheating, and just to bond. Yeah, bonding over that and going in a Stuart Little car.
But were they really cheating, or was Bill Murray putting ideas in Rashida Jones' head? Is the way I took it.
I mean, because he thinks he knows men, right? That's like, oh, they're all going to cheat.
Because
I also think there is evidence that, I mean, it was pretty fishy deleting, like looking up Fiona, and she's one person she works very closely with and not being able to find anyone. But now that I think about it, he probably has her in the phone as Fifi, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess the argument is how many people in your phone don't have the real names? Like, I have a bunch of people that if you looked at my phone, you'd be like, who are these people? Just people, you know, I just put weird names in, like Uncle Frank. I don't have an Uncle Frank because that's the guy's nickname is Uncle Frank at work. So I put him in as Uncle Frank.
What's his actual name?
It's Frank.
Oh, okay.
But one of my coworkers is his actual nephew, and he called him Uncle Frank. We're like, what? So now we all call him Uncle Frank.
Oh, okay.
I have two Adams in my phone. There's Adam 1 and Adam 2.
Okay.
Why? Because I have two friends named Adam, so I know which one's 1 and I know which one's 2. And I'm just weird that way.
Okay.
Do you have any interns in your phone?
No, dead to me. Dead to me. He's filed, but I have a few people in the dead to me section. So.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm just on the opposite end, but that's fine.
So did you see any animals on your walk today, Daniel? Did you leave the house and go for a walk? Maybe a wolf?
Okay. Well, I mean, I saw snow, but not no wolves. The Wolf of Snow Hollow, directed by Jim Cummings, starring Jim Cummings, Ricky Lindholm, Robert Forster, rest in peace, Chloe East, Will Madden, Jimmy Tatro, and Marshall Allman.
Okay, Doug, do you want me to go first, or do you want to kill this first?
I actually kind of like this movie, so if you want to go first and trash it, go ahead.
Oh, so this is not the one we had the text by behind the scenes. Me and Doug text each other, nope. Not reveal one film. This is mine.
Okay.
I absolutely hated this day. I know every second of this film was miserable torture for me.
Okay.
Absolutely thought this was horrible acting. Jim Cummings, I'm done. I don't ever want to see him in another film again. I don't want to see anybody in this cast in a film again. I don't want to see anything involved in this film. I'm going to think, this was so dumb, it wasn't funny. I was pissed by the ending. I was pissed halfway through the film. After 20 minutes of Jim Cummings yakking to me with dumb detective work, I was ready to turn it off, is how pissed I am.
Okay.
This was utterly torture for me to watch.
Yay.
It must have taken me 2-3.5 hours to finish this because I had to keep turning it off and leaving. I go, this is just bad acting to me. Did not like it in any way. I have nothing positive other than Robert Forster's last film. Nice to see Robert Forster. But I want him in charge, not Jim Cummings, having a personal issue with everything. I don't care. Okay. I do not like those kind of movies. This is a piece of crap, and it's going to probably be my top 10 worst films of the year, is how much I hated this.
Wow. Jeez Louise. Okay. I'm
gonna
feel
I
like
have
being...
nothing positive. I'm so pissed off about the wolf, it isn't funny.
I didn't make it, Simon. Just remember that.
You put it on the list. I'm holding you personally responsible.
My name is Daniel Prin, not Jim Cummings.
Jim Cummings will never be on my interview show, obviously, after hearing that.
Hi, Jim. Jesus Christ. Doug, did you want to go?
Sure. I will go the complete opposite of what Simon was saying. I actually really like this film. I viewed it as a satire on America today. It's a minority group of people believing one thing and not accepting any reality that's put into their face, no proof, no evidence, will change their mind at all. And that's what Jim Cummings represented in this film.
Okay.
That's how I saw it, and that's what it was to me. That's why I liked it.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on that satire at all, so I like that perspective. Cool. Okay. Did you want to continue or did you want me to go?
You can go. I was just given the opposite of Simon.
Okay.
How I saw it and how I liked it.
Okay. Now, Simon, did you want to respond or did you want me to go?
Go ahead, Daniel.
Easy. Okay. Okay. Sounds good. Simon, you liked Rare Exports and me and Doug disliked it, so I think we're just on the opposite end of that one.
It's all right. I want to hear Kevin's opinion. Hopefully he saw this.
No, I have not seen it. I watched the trailer, but I did not have time. It was encoding when I needed to watch it this afternoon. So
okay.
Hold on. What were you coding? That was so interesting.
I was encoding it. I had to convert it so I could watch it on iTunes.
Oh.
And then I had that interview before this one, so I just didn't have enough time. Okay, I will watch it before the end of the year so I can decide whether or not
It'll be number one in your top 10 worst. You can join me.
We'll see.
Honestly, I don't think it'll be on my best, but it will never touch my worst. Okay, I'll give you this. Jim Cummings' character is very, very aggressive, and he gets a bit unlikable at times, but I
unlikable? Unlikable.
For sure.
Despicable?
Sure. Yeah.
Punch him out, literally ripping the screen and clock him 45 times so I could feel happy about him.
Okay, Lizzie Borden.
She killed her husband with an axe. I'm not
an axe. No, that was 41 times, right?
Yes.
Okay. I enjoyed it. I liked the horror. I liked the mystery. Didn't mind. I thought it had a lot of heart at times with just getting over the addiction of the alcoholism. I felt it by the end when they did the little, ooh, is he dead? Nah, he's just waiting outside kind of thing. I like Ricky Lundholm. This is trying to do, and I love the relationship with Robert Forster and just that aspect of the film.
I will give that. Any scene with Robert Forster was fine for me.
Yeah. And
until Jim Cummings started talking.
Okay. It's dry humor. It's definitely trying to do a lot of Fargo here.
Oh, great. Another film that I do not like that I get in trouble for.
You don't like Fargo?
Yeah. I do not like Fargo.
Okay. Okay. Have we done it on the show?
I don't think we have, so if you guys are going to make me rewatch Fargo, it's going to be a full-on fight.
Okay, no, I was going to write it down, but I'm scratching that out now.
No, go ahead. You can listen.
I'm surprised that we've not watched it.
We haven't, because I would never bring it up, because I dislike Fargo so much the one time I saw it.
I put you in a corner.
As an aside, we've been updating our list, so if anyone wants to go to our website and look, we've got a pretty good list of things that we've reviewed.
And the website would be www.extrafeatures.ca, and if they pick it, we review it.
Yep, yeah. You just look under the top, there's a header that says Movies We Reviewed. And so we've done about 1,700 movies since we started.
And we're still working on it.
Yeah, Wolf of Snow Hollow is like 1701.
I will could pick up that thought when Daniel's done his thought on it. Yeah. Are you done your thought on Snow Hollow?
No, I am not. I like the brutal murders, and you hated the ending. The little incel kind of thing is kind of weird, but I like the twist. It's with the taxidermist. I mean, I don't think we saw him much before. But just,
oh, we didn't.
I liked it. You know, you get unnerved about him because we already know because she found the needle, the taxidermy needle. But sorry to spoil, Kevin.
What?
Sorry to spoil, Kevin. But
sorry.
I thought it was terrifying when he's like, "Hey, do you wanna stand up for your full height for me?" I thought it was spooky, like how he just goes over the door. I thought that was well directed. And then the chase through the woods, I thought that was all great. I really enjoyed this one. Snore on your own time, sir.
I thought I was watching Snowman again.
Oh, God. Yeah. Jesus.
I just want to say, everybody, Kevin's been working on the site night and day, so please check it out for him. Make him happy. Because he has been working diligently on this.
Yeah, it's pretty you, it's a lot of work. So, but yeah, that's pretty good. We pretty much have every episode from 172 up on the website, and we're working on the Rewind project, which is the older episodes. So a majority of the ones under 60 are up now under the Rewind heading.
Okay.
And but we still have a long way to go. There's still a whole bunch of 61 to 170, basically.
Do we have any vampire movies on there, Kevin?
We've got tons of vampires, but none. quite as good as Vampires in the Bronx versus the Bronx.
Yes. So, thank you for your work on that, and thank you, intern, for making lists as well.
Yes, thank you to the intern, who's dead to Simon, but has been a big help in reviewing the old episodes and giving us the lists.
He's alive.
He's helping to redeem himself in Simon's eyes, I guess. Although, Simon, you had lunch with him.
I did have lunch with him the other day. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. You and he are still buddies.
No, there's nothing.
It's me that he hates, right?
I have no idea what's going on there.
You've thrown me under the bus.
I have not done any of that.
I know how it works. Shall we talk about Vampires versus the Bronx?
Yes, Kevin, hit it.
Yeah.
I'll do the cast list first. Sorry. Vampires versus the Bronx, directed by Osmani Rodriguez. Starring Jason Michael, Jared Jones III, Gregory Diaz IV, Sarah Gadon, Method Man, Shia Wiggum, and Chris Redd.
So I felt like I'd seen this movie many times over the years. It's the same story. The kids are the only ones that see that something is going on under everyone's noses. In this case, it's that vampires are buying a property and settling in Brooklyn. It had a very attack the block kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
And a little bit of it and a few other things. That being said, I didn't hate it. I just felt I'd seen it before and it wasn't that much fun. But overall I thought it was okay. The acting was fine. I liked the uncle that ran the bodega.
Yeah, Tony.
He was really good. And I liked the twist that, although it wasn't a big twist, that the blonde girl was the head vampire. The real surprise to me was, why was Zoe Saldana in this for like 2 seconds?
Oh, right. I forgot.
At the very beginning. It seems like a waste of her time. She was like doing it for a friend or something. But overall, I mean, if you're looking for just something to watch, which we all are, unfortunately, during the pandemic, stuck at home, you know, it's okay. Maybe something you'd watch if you had kids home. And they like vampire movies. It's not, I mean, there's a little bit of blood in it and there's a lot of blade like vampires burning up, but it was okay. It was fun.
Yeah. It's very, Kid Who Would Be King, Attack the Block, those kind of films. Mm-hmm. It's nothing new, but I when I like a movie, I just like a movie. I thought it was charming. It had that like eighties vibe that I like. Just good fun, easy breezy, decent characters. I thought I had a lot of heart, and I love Sarah Gadon, I was like, okay, like I know you're the main villain, but I actually kind of felt it when she got Tony. I was like, aw, that sucks, you know? I mean, you know it's going to happen, but it was like, nah. But I mean, I like these characters. I like the gentrification kind of vibe, and then, Shia Wiggum being the familiar. I thought that was interesting. I mean, it's nothing new. But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing because I don't think they're going for anything new.
Yeah. And my younger son, he watched it with me and he really enjoyed it. The part that stuck out to him was the kids videotaped themselves doing the blade moves. He really got a kick out of that. This was a tame version of Lost Boys. It doesn't have the R-rated edge that Lost Boys had, but it was enjoyable. I was hoping for more out of Method Man. I kind of wanted him to have a bigger role, be a little more badass, but sure. It was nice to see him in a family film.
Only Water in the Sprite was pretty good.
Kevin, what's that film when the guy, they did Fright Night. This has a little bit of
Fright Night. Yeah, very much Fright Night, yep.
Definitely felt that somebody watched some Fright Nights.
Both versions, yeah.
I really like Fright Night. I think I'm going to do Fright Night in the Bronx, and that's exactly how this film frees to me.
Mm-hmm.
They've lifted the whole plot line off Fright Night and just changed it a bit. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Fright Night. Fright Night Light was fine, too. Just wasn't good, if I guess what I'm trying to say. I like the kids. I thought the kids did a very good job for what they had to do.
Mm-hmm.
I like vampires that eat people and just look scary. And that's what I need. I need scary vampires. Not like True Blood, like real scary. I do like Lost Boys. I do feel those vampires have a real world and they existed for a while and they do vampire things. These are vampire light. You know, the vampires in True Blood would eat these guys alive and just destroy them.
I'd argue the parking garage vampire, that was an intense kind of scene.
I like that, but that was the only one we got. I need more of that.
If the faces when they're hanging out in their lair.
I thought the lair was good. I like the set design a lot in the lair. I like the set design in this world. I mean, I don't think they had a massive budget, and I think you see that a lot.
Sure.
I mean, a lot of it went into that. I really like the way they killed the vampires. I actually quite enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it did stay out a lot like CGI. I'm like, oh, that's CGI. It didn't really.
One thing did bother me. I'll be honest. One thing did bother me, okay? He's holding the balloon with the holy water in it, and it's boiling. And standing right beside, and then it bursts, because it's right beside him is his buddy who has a fucking belt, excuse my language, he has a belt full of water balloons with holy water in him, and nothing's going on.
Oh,
haha. Oh, no, in a Sprite bottle?
Yeah.
Bottle?
But they filled up water balloons, right? So his one buddy put them across his vest like Chewbacca with water balloons. But his water balloon was boiling and eventually explodes as they get to the door where the vampires are. But his buddies, nothing's going on.
Sure. Okay.
So if holy water boils, hey, what didn't have holy water in those?
I got to say, I did like the familiar scene when they go to visit the guy in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was very well done. I thought that would work for kids.
Well, that actor's really good, actually.
Yes.
I don't know who. Yeah. I've seen him. Yeah. Yeah. Bless his name kind of thing, yeah.
Yes, one of those. Who is that? Yeah. So I think this is a vampire life film. I think it's good for a younger child, I would say, between, I don't know, 11 and 15, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not
25 for me.
Have some fun. Pardon?
Sorry. I was just saying another 25. Just include me.
You're welcome to like the film. I know. I mean, I just think it's just vampire like to me. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's just not going to blow me away. It's fine. It's Netflix fare. This is what I consider a Netflix film.
Mm.
Do you guys remember that one-liner he said when, I forget what he even did. He put something down in the guy's throat and he was like, burn or baby burn or something. I don't know. I'm trying to think of the one-liner, but it was, I thought it was really funny, but I can't remember what he said.
Maybe you had a miseducation there of the movie. Maybe you should go back and rewatch it.
Thank you. Wait, are you doing Midnight Family or Miseducation?
I'm doing Miseducation.
Okay. I cannot talk. The Miseducation of Cameron Post, directed by Desiree Akhavan, starring Chloe Grace Moretz, Sasha Lane, Forrest Goodluck, Quinn Shepherd, John Gallagher Jr., Emily Skeggs, Maren Ireland, and Jennifer Eel. I don't know. Oh, Doug, is this the one you didn't like?
Oh, for sure it is.
No, it is not. Wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay, then I know which one it is for sure now, but not, I didn't, oh, wow, I'm shocked this is not the one.
I'm not saying I love this film, and this is not a movie to watch with headphones. I watched it with headphones on. There was just a lot of kissing noises, and if you're not into ASMR, it just goes right up my spine. I did not care for that. I will put that right out there. I didn't hate this movie, but I didn't love it either.
Okay.
Well, Doug, that's quite depth you went into there. Do you want to help me out a bit more? Why you didn't like it? Plot? Middle, acting?
It was basically an hour and a half of child abuse in my eyes. I don't agree with conversion therapy or religious conversion, stuff like that. It's just not a movie I would watch for fun. It's already a concept I disagree with. There was maybe one or two scenes that I enjoyed. I liked, I forget the actress's name, but
Sasha
Lane? She was in Daniel Isn't Real.
Yeah, Sasha Lane from American Honey.
Yeah, Sasha Lane, when they were having the conversation about what happened where the congregational heads found John Gulager Jr. in the bar, like, oh, what are you doing here? Oh, I'm definitely not here to suck your cock. I like that. I thought that was funny. But all in all, the movie just it didn't work for me because I already agreed with its points. There was nothing for it to argue at me for, I guess is what I'm saying.
Okay. I'll pick up from the duck. I have a lot of problems. This film is just dumb to me. I mean, I don't believe in conversion therapy, same as Doug does. So there's nothing to convince me here. I don't think you can. I've seen enough of these films, I guess what I'm trying to say. There was another one earlier with a bunch of boys.
Boy Erased.
I saw that one too. I thought that was better done than this one. This one seemed a tame version of that. I thought the ending of this film is totally dumb. I'm just like, really? That's it? Couldn't we have had that story? Which I think would have been better than the story I sat through. At no time I thought any of these characters were convinced of what they were going through at this time, the conversion therapy. I don't think not one of the characters seemed dedicated to it. They all seemed to just be going through the motions to please parents, themselves, or the counselor.
Yeah.
I just thought this was a complete waste of my time to watch. I mean, I have to agree with Doug. I didn't hate it, but I just like, there's nothing here I can get behind or believe in because I don't like it. It's not something that appeals to me.
Yeah. I think Owen Campbell's character, the one who slices his genitals, I think he was the only one who was like, okay, I think I can do this. But then it was like, when his dad was like, but at the same time, he's doing it so we can come home, right? And then his dad's like, no, I don't want femininity in my house. But yeah, I'm not up for conversion therapy. There's a line where Chloe Grace Moretz, like after that happens and the counselor guy comes to make sure that everything's good. And she's like, isn't programming you to hate yourself, emotional abuse? That stuck with me. I think Boy Erased had more power than this film, but I think I like the cast better and I like the characters better.
Film than Boy Erased?
Yeah.
I have to agree with you. There's only five of them here. Boys Erased just seems to be all general characters. Nobody really has a personality other than the leader and the one kid.
Yeah. And like Russell Crowe is definitely better than the John Gallagher, like Jennifer Ely kind of thing. But I like the cast, but yeah, the end, I was disappointing because the ending was just like, wait, yeah, exactly. That's it. Like, yeah, I want to see what you guys did after it. Kind of thing.
I guess my problem with conversion therapy is why are you doing something that is fundamentally against everything I believe? I mean, people, this is who they are. Who cares?
Yeah.
And I think that's my problem with these films. They keep making them like, I don't want to ever see this stuff. I know conversion therapy is getting banned everywhere. So why are we continuing to make films where people already know it's wrong?
Well, a lot of people don't think it's wrong. That's the problem. That's why places like this exist. There are people who truly believe you can stop being gay through the power of Christ.
Well, they're idiots.
Thank you, Jesus. Sorry.
Kevin, yeah, did you watch this one?
Nope.
Too busy.
Too busy. But you know what? The subject matter, again, why... I fundamentally disagree with the idea of conversion therapy, but I know that it exists. It's out there. I don't need to know what they do to know that I disagree with the idea of it. And sure. To sit through 2 hours of someone, I mean, partially I didn't watch it because it wasn't available to me. It wasn't free on any of my streaming services. But it didn't grab me as a concept.
Okay.
For a film.
I will say, in regards to the ending, I almost wish the last 15 minutes of the movie were the first 15 minutes, and then we follow those three characters further than what the ending was. I want to see what happens afterwards.
Yeah, I agree. We should write it.
Well, they did leave around midnight, so that's probably a pick-up point.
As a family, almost.
As a family?
As a family.
Midnight Family. Now this is directed by Luke Lawrenson. Now this is a fly on the wall documentary about the Okoa family. Juan, Fer, and Hosu, or Jose, I guess, but it's spelled like with a U. So I don't know how to say it, but either way, it's a documentary. Was this the one you didn't like, Doug?
This, I didn't love this one, but this is not the one that I had the visceral reaction to.
Okay. He's going to ask for everyone.
This one I felt could have been a short documentary. I didn't know why it had to be feature length. I felt like I was getting the same story three times. The family goes to an emergency, picks somebody up, takes them to a private hospital, not the public one, because they get better care there, and then they have to fight to get paid. I felt like it was the same story three different times. I feel it would have been better as a documentary short, not a feature.
Okay.
Oh, my God, Doug, did you read my notes? Exactly what I wrote down, that this would have made a great documentary short. It should have been 40 minutes in and out and done. And what's up with this fat kid eating Ruffles all day? It was really my big issue. Every time I look at this guy, he's like, I'm shoveling Ruffles. I'm like, and the mom really is only in the scene. Is it the mom that's only in the scene for one?
We think it's his sister.
Is it his sister?
I don't know.
Like, what, I don't even know who that was.
What chips are you eating?
I'm eating nachos, but I'm not. But that kid in the film is just, every time I look at him, he's eating something.
Sure.
Tacos, Ruffles, and when they go in the Pesos. So because I was watching this film for the third time, at least I felt it was because it was the same scene, you work out, because they tell you how many Pesos it costs. It costs $242 Canadian dollars to take a taxi ride. And I even touched in the tacos were like a dollar. Like they were so cheap. And I'm like, oh my God. So this family literally waits for people to get hurt, has to wait half an hour, drive over there and go pick them up. Then they pick them up and hopefully get paid. But they got to pay off the cops because the cops tip them off. So they got to bribe the cops. I'm like, and they did this every night, they said.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out, how do they make money? I mean, it looks like they get paid a lot sometimes from the hospital when they get there from the insurance. I guess they get paid every night.
Yeah, because.
But my argument is, if these people don't have insurance, why don't they just leave them? Say, you know what, I'm out. That wasn't really addressed.
Wait, leave who, sorry?
The people they pick up, the patients, or the people that need emergency care. Like, they don't always, they don't make money every trip, right?
No, they lost money on one of the trips.
So my question is, how do they make money? Other, so they get to the hospital, like that wasn't really, we see exchange of money from the hospital. But at one point I would like somebody to tell me how this works.
Cause it's, so they're a private ambulance cause there's only 40 government ones.
Well, I understand that. So they get paid to drive the people to the hospital, right?
Yeah, well, they get paid from the fees.
Who pays them? The hospital insurance or the parents?
Seems like you're trying to get the parents at one point.
The hospital pays them, like, a stipend because they're a private hospital. They're not the public ones run by the government.
That's why they always want to go there.
So the private hospitals, they say they get better care there. And that the hospital pays them to bring patients to them.
But then
they also need to get paid by the patients, but that doesn't always happen. And they say you can't push that because if you start pushing to get paid, they could call the cops or the patients can call the cops on them. And then they'd be in a whole nother world of trouble.
Well, I felt bad for that one mother whose child died because they went to a different hospital.
Yeah, because they said the hospital was like, there was one like 5 minutes away from their house and they went to the private one.
Yes.
Yeah. And yeah, also
I thought that was wrong.
Yeah, and also the ethics of the, like telling the mom and the kid, like, oh, you can't see it, but there's ambulances lined up and they're in an empty lot. And then just so they can go to the private one.
Yeah, things like that I thought were wrong. But, I mean, again, I have to agree with Doug. This film did not need to be an hour and a half. 40 minutes would have been perfect. It would have been solid. And maybe an interview with somebody, like maybe one of the patients or one of the – like I needed more than just this family. Like I or some, not me do the interviews. I could do a better job, I think, than the
– I mean, it's pretty breezy at 80 minutes, though. And, I mean, it's like not a very – not a structure of documentary I've seen a lot of. Like Honeyland was similar, where it's feels more narrative, fly on the wall, and the documentary crew can't interfere with it. They're just going to let it happen and see the story. Because I'm pretty sure there's like 450 hours of raw footage because they followed this family over 3 months. So that, wow. I feel like that's pretty hard to do 40 minutes out of, I guess.
Okay, so fine. Give me an hour 20 minutes of interest set. Do some better interviews. Yeah. Ask some better questions. Explain to me how they make their money. How do they pay for these medical supplies? Do they get a discount? Are they buying the best medical supplies going, or do they buy the cheap version? Like, I have so many questions when I finish the film, it bugged me.
Okay. I guess they just get by. I don't know.
Well, that's what I mean. None of those questions are answered, and they should be by the end of this film. They have an hour and 20 minutes. As Doug says, we see the opening scene, we see the end scene, and they're almost pretty much the same. So they could show me three quick accidents and just sort of did those quick, show the payout, and explain to me stuff I want to know. Like, you go out every night, you never take a day off. Like, aren't you guys tired? They switch drivers, they do this, they do that. I have so many questions after watching this film, I was pissed off.
Okay. I mean, I love Nightcrawler, so this to me, this is similar.
It is.
Yeah, and like the same way, I feel like a Canadian documentary could be the tow truck drivers trying to get to the, you know, the accident person picking, getting the car. Cause like it's that kind of competition.
It'll come out. Doug, Kevin won't see it cause it won't be on the streaming service. So he'll
right.
That one.
Yeah. And I mean, the car chases were just the ambulances trying to race each other there. That was kind of thrilling.
Okay, that was good for about 3 minutes.
Sure. I don't know. I thought it's a very human story. You like them at first, then it's like, oh, okay, bad ethics, but you have to do it to get by, I guess, to make a living.
I didn't have any issues with what they were doing. It's just I wanted more info.
Okay.
And I think there's numerous times in this film that I didn't need to watch the ambulance drive down the street again. And they could have cut that out, give me an interview, and then picked it up when they got to the scene of the accident. I would have been fine with that.
Okay. But I guess
how many times do we see them going shopping?
Sure.
And that kid eating Ruffles. Enough of him, too.
Yeah, but I think with him, I think the big thing for me was like that is kind of heartbreaking that the parents and them are mooching off of a 10-year-old being like, hey, how many pesos you got, buddy?
Kind of thing, right? He got paid. He was in the ambulance. He got paid. That's the way they worked. There were four of them. They split the cash four ways. Am I wrong, Doug?
Well, they wanted to go from his wallet to get food because they've already spent their money.
Hold on. Doug, parent to parent, have you ever been out with a child and short $5 and had to board off your kid?
Yeah.
You look like an idiot?
Okay, no, okay, sure.
No, you wouldn't know that, Dad. I'm not putting you in the wrong position. I'm just saying to Doug, we've all been there. And I saw that scene. I'm like, yeah, I've been there with my kid. Oh, crap. I forgot my wallet, or I thought it was 20. You know, I need $2, $5. My kids will make $10 off me for the $5 deal.
Yeah, but they, I don't know. I just thought they ask him constantly.
Well, because I think, the dad's trying to provide gas, food, shelter. Doug's been there with his thing. I mean,
sure.
We have the most expenses, right? And if this is the only way we can make money and we have a bad night, my kids are, hey, I need some cash to help me out here.
Sure.
I mean, I think Doug would say the same thing with his kids. You know, you want to eat tonight? I'm going to need your $5. I'll make sure you get it back at some point, but right now it's food for the family. Like, you got to think of the whole picture.
Sure. No, I guess just, yeah, sure. But
so I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying it's a error. You look at things differently.
Okay. So I just wanted to give one more point. With you just wanting more information with the interviews, I feel like that if they do interviews, that just goes away from the structure that they're doing with the fly on the wall, right?
Absolutely. But I had too many questions by the end of an hour and 20.
Okay. That's fair. Sure.
I actually had one quick question. Sure. Did we ever see the driver's son get bailed out or released by the cops? Maybe I completely missed that, but all of a sudden he's just back.
Yeah, he just magically shows up. You're right, Doug. No, we don't.
Okay.
Yeah, again, there was something else they could have gone some depth into.
Yeah. Like how much would the bail be in Mexico, right? I don't know. We're going to the video vault.
I have some breaking news. if we want to discuss it. Yeah, breaking news.
Breaking news, dog. Sure.
Breaking news. Da-da-da-da-da. All right, according to a leaked trailer, which has gone on the internet as we were talking, Disney Plus is changing their streaming service slightly in 2021, and they're adding an 18-plus password-protected section where the majority of the Fox movies will be added. So you'll see Deadpool, Kingsman, Logan, films like that, Red Sparrow, Shape of Water, Predator, the Aliens movies, the Predator films, Stuber, things like that.
Oh, because Stuber should be the 18-plus section.
I thought Disney was making porn.
I'm waiting for that princess porn.
So you'll see movies like the Enchanted and so forth, and Alita Battle Angel will be added.
Okay.
Cloak and Dagger is coming to Disney Plus in February.
Finally.
Here's some interesting news about Black Widow. Premier access April 16th.
What does that mean?
That's
the same thing Mulan happened with like the $30.
So Kevin will pay the $30. You'll have that. He'll be with
12. Oh, for sure. I'll pay $30 for Black Widow. I don't know what effect that will have on a theatrical run. I guess they're assuming there won't be one, or they'll do a concurrent one like Wonder Woman, which is also news, right? Wonder Woman is going to be released on HBO Max. Mm-hmm. And same time as in theaters, except here in Canada, we will not be getting that. I'll be relying on Simon.
I will have some news. I'm probably going to go see Wonder Woman in theaters. I think I'm going to venture out and take myself out and go see Wonder Woman.
Some bad news for Marvel fans. Falcon and the Winter Soldier, August of 2021.
I don't care.
Well, I do, but...
when was it originally?
It was originally supposed to be August 2020. So now it's going to be a full year after that.
Okay.
But there's no mention of Loki and stuff like that. But, a lot of material coming to Disney Plus next year, if this is true. So a lot of the Fox films that just aren't kid family friendly will be under this. You'll have this password protected option to access an 18 plus area where all these films will be.
So if anybody wants to log into my Disney Plus, it'll be dead to me. Will be the password, just all one word, dead.
Now, the one question is, I don't know if this is more money for the extra films or not, but we'll see.
Don't care. Seen them all.
Yep.
So, okay. Are we hanging out in the vault?
Nobody has the movie I want.
Hey, if it's on video, Blockbuster probably has it. I mean, we have over 10,000 videos.
Wow.
I'll watch these fast and have them back tomorrow, I promise.
Relax. At Blockbuster, you can keep your videos for 3 evenings, so take home plenty. And use our 24-hour quick drop.
Do you have any children's videos?
Sure. Blockbuster's America's family video store. You know, we have more kids' videos than any place else. And more movies, more nights, more fun.
Blockbuster Video. What a difference.
The Rookie. I don't have a good transition for this one. Directed by Sean.
Or The Rookie. Don't worry.
Okay, thank you. Directed by John Lee Hong Hancock, starring Dennis Quaid, Rachel Griffiths, Jay Hernandez, Angus T. Jones, Brian Cox, Rick Gonzalez, Chad Lindberg, and Angelo Spizzieri.
Last episode, Doug brought up a question, movies that make you cry. This would be pretty close for me. I found this at a garage sale, probably for 50 cents, picked it up. I'm like, oh, Dennis Quaid. I really like Dennis Quaid as an actor. I think he makes good choices most of the time. I find he doesn't do a lot of crap. I friggin' love this film. This is one of those nice films I sit back and enjoy every time. Doug's probably got me the one he hates. There's only one other one, and I know that's not the next one. So, Doug, I guess we're being complete opposite. I love this film. I think it's just a fun family film. I mean, it's based on a true story, I think, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, I like it. I mean, there's nothing really to it. It's pretty basic, but I like these kind of nice, warm feeling at the end of films. I don't always like them, but for some reason, I do enjoy baseball films, even though I don't really like watching baseball, which is kind of strange. But I like the film. I like Dennis Quaid. There's no surprises in it, but I just like it. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Doug, I'll let you go so I can sandwich my love for it and for your hatred.
Fair enough. This movie is over 2 hours long, I get it. It's a baseball film. It wants to pace itself like a baseball game. It is slow.
Yes.
It is slow. Let me just reiterate that. It is so slow.
Not a fastball, that's for sure.
The first 6 minutes of this film felt like an hour to me. I did not need every single scene of him and following his father, moving from base to base, playing catch with new people everywhere. I did not need that. I did not need an hour leading up to him even trying out for the major leagues. First, we had to get through him teaching. Then we had to get through him coaching. Then we had to get through him inspiring his kids to play better. And then we had to get through them winning the championship. God, it took so long to get to the tryouts. I thought the movie has to be close to over now. The movie was only half done. Then we get him in the minor leagues. Then we get the call up at the end. I can't be inspired by a true story of a middle relief pitcher who pitched 14 innings his entire career. It just didn't work for me. It was slow. It was, I wouldn't say boring. The baseball scenes were fun, but it was just so slow.
You know what? I love this film, but you're making some really valid points. Just because I haven't seen this since I was, it's gotta be 10, 12 years since I've seen this last. I forgot all about the fact that they have to follow the high school team to their victory first before he can get his chance to shine. And I mean, like with the beginning, I forgot all about like, oh, and this is why this town loves, Big Lakes loves baseball. And it's kind of like in how the greatest game ever played starts, and it's just getting the background of it, like another Disney sports movie, and how like the credits of that feel so long, and just how they give the history. So you're honestly, you're making some good points. But yeah, I love this movie. I think it's charming. And I love Disney sports movies, and it's kind of similar to Invincible with Vince Papale, how he had the tryout with the Eagles. And I mean, it's all about following your dreams and making hard work come true. And I mean, it's totally fair. You only played 14 innings, and it's September call-ups, so everybody gets called up. You know, but it's still inspiring all the same. And I think Dennis Quaid does a good job. I love Angus T. Jones as the kid. He does his job just like feel good family movie. And it definitely made me cry, the relationship with the dad, like him coming out to the game at the end. And just even his interview that he was giving, just like, oh, like I didn't make it the first time, but then I did. And it's just, I don't know. I'm a sucker for a good sports movie. And it's feel good. It makes me feel good. I love these kind of
stuff. I have to back you up, Daniel. I think that's what it is. It's a feel good sports movie. You got to understand how much crap I watch, people. Complete and utter crap. I see a film that's well put together, that has a storyline that makes sense, that has an ending I can enjoy. I tend to like it occasionally. And I mean, I understand Doug's issues. Doug, I get it, but this is the story of this guy's life. He had nothing else. I mean, it's a 14-inning pitcher. What are they going to focus on? It's 14 innings? It's a Disney film. They picked it up. I mean, it was better than those two kids from India. Is that where they were from?
Oh,
John Hamm?
Yeah, Million Dollar Arm.
Oh, God, that was terrible. I mean, I think that's what Disney saw, the rookie, and made money. So they said, oh, we'll make Million Dollar Arm, which was terrible.
Make another one. Yeah.
I think this film only works for me because Dennis Quaid is such a good actor. The film rests slowly on him. I mean, we put somebody that can't do the heavy lifting. Oh, wait, John Hamm can't. Wouldn't work. And that's my issue with it. I have to agree with Doug, but I see Doug's problems with it. I will agree with Doug, but I think it has a positive message on the end, but it has really, there's nothing into it. I agree with you, Doug. That's why they spend so long at the beginning introducing everybody, and they're trying to make you feel for the character. And if that doesn't work for you, this film won't work for you.
Yeah.
I get that.
So I ended up watching it over two nights, like a miniseries.
You had time. Well, nice of you. You had time to watch
it. I actually did watch that one, yeah, because it was on Disney Plus. So,
oh, that's good.
Yeah. So, first, like, again, Doug, you're completely right. It's too long. I felt like Quicksilver. I'm in the movie. I'm pushing fries around. It's taking so long for stuff to happen here. Come on. I mean, again, yeah, the fact that he isn't even called up to the major leagues until the last 20 minutes or so, and he pitches a game. Okay, great. Awesome. Yes, Angus is great. I see why he went on to be on two and a half men for so many years and then became a piece of crap actor and faded away. But,
I think he'll be at Fan Expo one day charging me $60 for a photo.
I was just thinking we should get him for Fan Expo. But, yeah, Dennis Quaid is great and I liked him and I liked the kids and I liked the heart. But the movie could have been about the kids winning the championship. And that would have been just as interesting a movie to me than, you know, and I did like the tryout scenes. Those were great. And I like the family bits, but like maybe we could have cut out. Like, why did we have to see the oil men playing baseball at the beginning?
We don't.
What was the setup for that? I don't get that.
History.
I think it's just a history shot. And you're right. This film needs a 15-minute trim.
Or
right.
The subplot about the men trying to build or grow grass on the field.
But they got hair from the barbershop, Doug. Come on. That's comedy.
Comedy, Doug.
It isn't War and Peace. It isn't like an epic miniseries of life and death in World War One. Like, it's a story about a guy who wants to play baseball in the major leagues. And yes, it's as if you like sports movies, this is great. Like, I was telling a friend I was watching, he goes, "Oh, that's a great movie, Kev. Great movie, Kev. I love that movie." And I'm like, "What do you love about it?" "Oh, just the story of overcoming everything and playing baseball and just the joy of it." And I'm like, "All right, but it's taking a long time to get here to that point." You know, I think it's awesome. I would have just liked to have seen him pitch. That would have been interesting. So
yeah, I mean, he has a good pitching face. You know, throwing 98 miles an hour. Yeah.
Again, beautifully shot too. The shots of him on the mat in the rain and
for sure.
And the little scene where he's out on the road and he's throwing the pitches and then the thing blinks on, you know, the meat cute or whatever.
Yeah. 76, but it's actually 96. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't hate it, but it was, it could have been an hour and I would have been happy.
I mean, yeah, it's two films in one, The Rookie and Bad News Bears.
It's pretty two much, films. Yeah. Two yeah. films in one.
Yeah. And honestly, I think I watched it at maybe at 4 a.m. and I watched it in two nights as well.
Oh, straight through, baby. Yeah. Straight through.
I think I tapped out when Dennis Quaid was saying goodnight to the kids and he's finally about to hit the road. So definitely pacing is an issue. Okay. Sorry.
Don't care. I could watch it again right now. Be just as happy.
Yeah, fair enough.
I'll just fast forward the little bit here and there.
Fast forward to right to Creepshow?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Directed by George A. Romero, starring Hal Holbrook, Adrian Barbeau, Fritz Weaver, Leslie Nielsen, Ed Harris, Ted Danson, Stephen King, and E.G. Marshall.
I guess I'll start because I have a story. Sure. When we were discussing how he was in the list, I said Daniel Little Taxco. Is this happening? He goes, "Oh, that's Creepshow too."
Yeah, The Raft.
I had seen this film years ago. A good friend, Kevin knows him, named Paul Grady, who I used to be best friends with, must have rented this because I did not watch horror movies when I was younger. Had no interest in them, would not watch them. So he would have had to rent this. And it's sitting there, and I watched the first one. I quite liked it, the zombie one, which I will get more depth later. I watched the second one with Ted Danson, which was really good. And the third one's the bug one.
That's the last one.
Mm-hmm. What was the third one?
I think the third one was the Leslie Nielsen one, and the second one was the Stephen King one.
Okay, Stephen King one I forgot about, and I want to forget about it again. The fourth one was the bug one that creeped the crap out of me when I was in my teens. Scared the bejesus. I'm not really a bug guy. I can kill bugs. No problem. I don't like bugs. I just do not like bugs. I kind of feel like the main character of that fourth sketch.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? That's the sketch. All these years, I've never forgotten that little bit at the end because it grossed the crap out of me. Absolutely gross to crap. So I think this film works for me on the whole because the first one is amazing. But the cake, I want my cake. Want my cake. It was fabulous. Great. Absolutely. George Romero hit that out of the park. Perfect, George Romero. The two in the middle, Stephen King one is absolutely terrible. Could just forget all about it. Stephen King can't act. It's like kind of watching Quentin Tarantino acting. Just fast forward your scene, and it'll be a happier camper. The 10 Days is one I enjoyed, because Leslie Nielsen, to me, is the man that could do no wrong. He shows up on the Love Boat with these crappy scripts and knocks him out of the park. So watching Leslie Nielsen in this, again, I have that wonderful watch. Leslie Nielsen, solid actor. I know this will be good. And then we get to the bug one at the end, which was, again, excellent.
So you're missing one.
Yeah, you forgot the...
What?
Sorry, you forgot
you're
the
missing one.
With Hal Holbrook. The one with the Yeti. Monkey. The Yeti kind of looking thing in the basement. Oh,
that one I like too. I love Hal Holbrook. Yeah, that one works too. And I would have done the same thing to Adrienne Barbeau. She needed that. She was driving me nuts. So I'm giving Creature a thumbs up today. And this is from the guy that scared the crap out of me. And I still have never forgotten that end scene with E.G. Marshall.
Yeah. I feel like I want to discuss this with just ones I like the most. I love the crate one. That's just totally a Stephen King kind of story to me. Just be like, oh, this is my opportunity to get rid of my wife. That I thought that was brilliant. I actually liked the one Stephen King was in. I mean, it's going for a campy kind of vibe. I enjoyed that. What was that called? The Lonesome Death of Geordie something. I don't know, but I enjoyed that one. I think the Ed Harris one was the Happy Father's Day. I liked that one, but I was kind of bored by the character drama in that one, just the setup of it. It was creepy when he came out of the grave, but otherwise, yeah.
I like the payoff at the end. The payoff at the end did it for me.
And then the Leslie Nielsen one with the how insane he is, and then them coming back. That was awesome. And I'm spoiling all of this, sorry, listeners. But what was the one I was missing? The bug one. Honestly, I love horror to be entertained. That one was just too creepy for me. I liked it. I liked the concept of it, but it's just like, yeah, these cockroaches are going to meet me in my bed tonight, and I don't like it. Yeah. So, yeah, that's it for me.
All right. Well, it's funny how I came to this as a graphic novel in 82, and I did watch the film shortly afterwards. But so I read all the stories. So it's been probably 20 years since I've seen the movie. So I'm just reading the synopsis of each one, and I'm remembering the stories from the graphic novel more than I am the movie.
Okay.
But some creepy stuff in there. It's all sort of based on that EC concept of horrors, horror movies where someone's getting their comeuppance at the end. There's always a terrific twist, whether it's the bugs coming out of the guy's body or the father coming out of the grave to get his cake, that kind of thing. Or even poor Stephen King out in the woods getting overgrown by growth from the meteor. You know, like nice little touches. The graphic novel was drawn by Bernie Wright. And I don't know if it's still available or not. But it was okay. Good cast. Kind of, you know, Night Gallery, Twilight Zone-y, horror type stuff. It's pretty solid. I don't remember Creepshow 2 at all, but I'd recommend this. If you're looking for kind of a goofy yet entertaining horror film, this is good.
Yeah. I think the only one that plays it straight is the cockroach one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a huge fan of Romero. You could see over my shoulder, I have a Dawn of the Dead poster above my bed. It's actually signed by Romero and Savini. So.
Oh, nice.
At a show?
I'm sorry?
Did you get that at a show?
Yes. At a horror con, Monster Mania in Baltimore.
Oh, okay.
Probably 10 years ago or so. But I love this movie. I love the whole EC Comics concept of it, how the stories are framed to look like it, sometimes with the shocking colors and the framing like panels. I love this film. I love the Stephen King story. That's probably my favorite of the whole bunch. I just love Stephen King in it. Just his meteor shit. I love his acting.
Oh, God.
I think it's right into the camp of it, you know. Yeah, his, I agree.
His acting is so painful, but it's fun to watch. And what really makes that story is the makeup effects. The grass is growing slowly everywhere and then growing on him. I thought it was wonderful. That's probably my favorite story of the bunch. The one that scared me is the same as everybody. Mm-hmm. It's the bugs at the end. That one freaks me out. I still get jitters after seeing this movie probably 20 times, but I love this film.
You've seen this 20 times?
Probably, yeah.
Wow.
This is my first watch of it, actually.
Very scary. I think we're done. Are we done?
I think so.
So send us an email at gmail. I'm losing it. extrafeatures@gmail.com. Check out the website, www.extrafeatures.ca. Thank Kevin for doing a great job. And if they make it.
Buy anything? We going to talk about that?
I was just going to say, check out my site, too, at filmcraziest.com.
Okay. You don't want to talk about if we bought anything?
I don't know. Did you buy anything?
I bought a couple of movies, yeah. I bought RoboCop.
Which one?
The first one is now in 4K.
Oh, nice.
And I bought Ex Machina.
That's
in 5K, yeah.
In 5K, okay.
4K.
What? Oh, is that an extra smell or something?
Comes with extra smell, yes.
Okay.
Alicia Vikander's.
I think that was it. I think I just got those two.
I got a few things. I got The Burning on Blu-ray.
Nice.
Jason Alexander's first film. It's a horror film, makeup by Tom Savini.
I have seen it.
Vengeance is Mine. It's a 70s Japanese crime movie. Most I can compare it to is probably Taxi Driver. It has the same kind of feel as that. Wonderful documentary, The Times of Harvey Milk. One of the best documentaries I've seen.
Nice.
And I think I got just one more. Ghost Dog, Way of the Warrior, or Way of the Samurai.
Cool.
Forrest Whitaker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are we done now?
Yeah. Are we done now? Are we? Can we go now?
Yes.
If they all make right. it,
I'll inspire a baseball team to win a championship, and then I'll watch it.
But after tryouts. After tryouts.
All right. After districts.